ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Hope you're staying warm, not slip-sliding around out there. Get to work in a safe fashion, not even necessarily a timely one, just a safe one. And then hopefully by the time we all get ready to go home tonight, the temperatures warm up, a lot of this stuff is gone. But we do appreciate the moisture that fell yesterday afternoon into the evening hours. We'll hit some college basketball last night. Oklahoma State and Oklahoma both played. Sooners on the road in Morgantown, OSU at home against Iowa State. More important than that, 21 years ago today in this state, a horrible thing happened. And it pops up every year right here on this date of the 27th. We'll relive that. The Remember the 10. When that Oklahoma State plane crashed, the first one, as it were, for Oklahoma State basketball, back in January 27th, 2001. NFL football, talk a little bit about the matchups coming up this weekend in the AFC title games. Kansas City is becoming the first team ever to host four straight. Now, there's been other teams that made four straight, and one team even made eight straight. Conference title games, but they're the first one to play host to all four in a row. And I was actually shocked how many teams have done this. They're the sixth team that's done this.
That's hosted?
No, that's made it. They're the first team ever that's hosted four in a row, okay. Ever. But there's been six. Actually, one franchise has done it twice. Had four game streaks twice into the conference finals. I was surprised there was that many. I could remember three off the top of my head. And then forgot about one there. Anyhow, so Kansas City doing something that's never happened. But so does Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is also doing something that's never happened.
Okay.
Coming up on Saturday. So we'll talk about that. Mahomes, when he's like back up against the wall, incredible number I saw yesterday in playoff games where Kansas City is really, really facing it. The other one, can the Rams solve their 49er problem? Niners have swept them three straight years, six straight wins for San Francisco over the Rams. And you can't look back and blame anybody but Sean McVay. It's not like he wasn't the coach for two of those and now he's stepped in. No. He was there the whole time. Kyle Shanahan, his buddy, has dominated his head the last 3 years. Will that switch? Stafford, amazingly, he's the one that held it together. After what, you know, his career kind of floundering in Detroit. Jimmy G, it's his chance to make a mint.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be crazy for all that he takes, all the negative that he takes, if you look up and Jimmy G was in the Super Bowl 2 out of 3 years?
That
sure doesn't seem like it, does it?
No.
I mean, considering what people think about him.
Oh, dear. We got breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has announced retirement from the NFL.
Well, there you have it. I think everybody knew that was coming.
That was coming, but now it's official.
All right. So Steelers are officially looking.
They are looking.
To make a change at quarterback. And I have to figure out something else to do without Big Ben. His career was incredible. And in a lot of ways, one of the current young guys reminds me of him a whole bunch. One Josh Allen. Yes, just a little bit faster version. Big, giant, strong guy. It's hard to take down with an absolute rocket.
I'd say faster. Yeah, absolutely.
He's faster. But, yeah. You know, he's not as big probably. I mean, it's bulky. Probably as tall. But anyway, I see a lot of those two together with strong arms, hard to bring down, and being able to keep plays alive with their legs. Anyhow, yeah, great career for Big Ben. We'll have to look into that and kind of celebrate that. Also, I wanted to wrap up a little bit. We got into the Hall of Fame stuff at the very end. My phone lit up with comments of what people think. This is it's pretty amazing because baseball, it doesn't elicit reaction from a whole bunch of people, but the ones it does,
yeah,
it elicits a strong reaction because the people that still pay attention really love it. There's just not a whole bunch of those people out there that continue to pay attention to it. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698, gives call, shoot us a text. We'll talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. Going to be outside the listening area. Stay in touch with the show a couple different ways. KADSAM.com or the Paragon app. The app has all things. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV, Paragon TV as well. Just everything we have to offer right there in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News will be hitting the newsstands today. Go pick up a free copy of the Penny News. Then, of course, Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and hear what we had to say on KADSAM.com or iTunes. iTunes, the best way, because then you can subscribe and you will be alerted when a new podcast drops each and every time. Got a picture from Allison, Texas. Doesn't look like very much fun out there. Unless you like a bunch of snow. I'm not sure what. Sam just looking off into the field from his truck. Looks like maybe a little more snow there than here.
Allison, Texas. I don't know where that's at.
It's in the panhandle.
You piqued my interest. I got a picture from Allison. I thought.
No. Allison, Texas.
What's my wife sending pictures to you for?
Oh, dear. No comment. The Hall of Fame stuff. Okay, so here, I guess I got a couple of questions. I want to see kind of where your mind goes or what you think. Yesterday, I mean, I think it's brutal. It's fairly obvious that David Ortiz got into the Hall of Fame because people liked him. And so the writers were able to overlook their sanctimony over the steroid issue, of which he has been popped from, because they liked him.
Right.
I think you bring up a great point about with the bombing and the way that he kind of stepped to the forefront of the city of Boston back then with the marathon and all that. I think that helped. That just builds into that of a positive media character. And so I guess my question is this. Is he going to be the only one from this kind of generation of baseball players? Is he going to be the only one that's going to make it?
Well, who else is left? I know there are a few. Is A-Rod under this umbrella?
Well, he didn't make it.
I know
that. And he only got 30-something percent of the vote. And
in the first year?
Yeah, this was his first year. But if you look at what he accomplished on the field, he's a slam dunk, guaranteed, unanimous Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he got 30-something percent of the vote. So, obviously, he's underneath the shroud of steroids.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's on the, you know, he's there with Poppy.
And there's a lot who don't like him, too.
Yeah, but even not liking you doesn't keep you out if you don't have the steroids hanging over your head.
Yeah. I don't know if it's questions change on how people are voted in or who doesn't get voted in, but I think it is clear Big Poppy was liked immensely by the media, and the two notable ones that were left out, Bonds and Clemens, they
and Schilling, by the way, but just for something different.
Oh well, yeah, it is. It's interesting.
Whoever's talking in the background, I think we're getting bleed over.
Yeah, I don't know how to fix that. Do you?
No. It's Matt Meyer. So you're getting both shows at once.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I can hear him pretty good today. Sometimes I can't.
I might tweak something at the break.
Okay. Anyhow. I think that it's – here's the problem. The writers – are making the news, not reporting it. And so, but does that make you have to revamp the entire idea of what's going on? Because the Baseball Writers Association is the one that elects the Hall of Fame members. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's who votes. And so, in order for that not to be the case, then you have to totally revamp it. And so some of these agendas, I mean, all this is a way to try to either prove a point that they thought of way back then, or because they didn't like certain guys when they played because they weren't nice to them, they can hold that grudge and be vindictive and keep them out of the Hall of Fame. Now, does it take away the fact that Barry Bonds hit more home runs than everybody in the history of the, than anybody in the history of the game? No. But it's also kind of the ultimate. I can't think of the word. It's the ultimate prize to prove how good you were as a player, it being elected into the halls of the Hall of Fame.
It's that, and also a legacy thing.
Yeah, I mean, it solidifies that you. It solidifies your legacy,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're enshrined into something forever. Yeah, so I can see how that is. It's a backhand to the face of someone like Bonds, absolutely. But to me, I said it yesterday. The PED stuff just stands out to me. But you're right. I mean, we were right yesterday. He didn't need that to accomplish that. And then I don't know. But the likability stuff is definitely a thing.
Which makes it even more ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because David Ortiz got to be in the Hall of Fame yesterday over two guys that were far superior baseball players. And Clemens and Bonds. Clemens and Bonds are way better than Big Poppy. Way better baseball players. It's not even a debate. But because the guys that vote on it like him better, he gets to get in. What is this, junior high?
Yeah, kind of.
I mean,
it's like voting on the homecoming king.
It's kind of what it is. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't even bother me when the fans get to vote all stars. I mean, part of it's a little bit ridiculous just because there are financial incentives tied into that with contracts and all that. But as far as this goes, I mean, how hard would it be if you're one of those two guys, two all-time greats of the game? Hell, maybe the best player ever is one of them when you think about Barry Bonds. How much does that bother you? Or do you just go, you know what? I know I'm a Hall of Famer even though I'm not there. Because quite frankly, you can't tell the story of baseball within those halls in Cooperstown without those two being involved in the conversation. So I wonder how they justify it in their minds, because you know Clemens came out with a statement that he'd given up on the Hall of Fame 10 years ago and all that, which whatever, nobody believes that with the way as arrogant as he was. And Bonds the same way. So, you know, to me, I think it hurts their feelings more than they're going to let on. Not being able to have that day to celebrate those two guys' careers that were phenomenal. With or without PEDs, they were phenomenal.
Yes. Yes.
And so then does it just become petty that they can't get in?
A little bit. A whole lot of it. A whole lot, actually.
I mean, a lot.
Yeah.
Think about this. Baseball. Now, The name I'm about to say, that is a different animal. It's a different conversation in my mind. But baseball, in their Hall of Fame, which celebrates the history of the game, you cannot find, not being in that club, is their all-time home run leader and their all-time hits leader. With Pete Rose and Barry Bonds. Mm. Now, Pete Rose did something that is unforgivable, because the last thing you want to do in any sporting event is go to it or watch it, pull it up on the TV and watch it, thinking this has already been decided.
Right.
And betting on baseball kind of gives off that, and it's the only thing, and Jim talks about it yesterday, it's the only thing that's on there, on the wall of can't-dos. It's that.
No betting.
No betting on baseball. And he did it, and he won't admit it, and then he finally did, and, you know, he's been a jerk about it all this time. Whatever, you're out. But for those others, I mean, you know, that it opens up a Pandora's box. If you're going to talk about performance-enhancing drugs, what about the greenies from back in the day that kept guys stimulated throughout the dog days of the summer? That's a performance-enhancing drug. but nobody's getting held out of the Hall of Fame for that. And then I go back to, if you're baseball, the Major League Baseball itself as an entity, I'm not going to tell you they outright encouraged it, but they darn sure looked the other way when it was happening because of the boon it caused with people coming back to the game after the World Series was canceled in 1994. They needed something. And that home run chase of 98 that was steroid-fueled got it. And they weren't going to do a damn thing about it. And, oh, by the way, there weren't rules for it. So it's like that people are holding these guys to standards and rules that weren't in place. It's like they're retroactively putting rules that in place that they broke. They weren't there.
Right.
At least in the game of baseball.
I remember years ago somebody courted the idea of why not just allow it and let everybody go crazy and then push back the fences and stuff like that. You know, leave it up to the player. Go, you want to roid up and deal with the consequences, you know, because there are some situations where, I mean, let's face it, it's like the war on drugs. When you tell somebody not to do something, what are they going to do? They're going to do it, and they're going to do it illegally, and it's not safe. So there's this idea of, well, let everybody do it, have a team doctor apply it, and, you know, and all that, and then they understand the risk down the line of, you know, this is what happens. You know, these are the side effects, but for all the glory, sure. Okay, let's go for it. Put the needle in my butt.
Yeah, and I mean, the idea of anabolic steroids back in the 80s and 90s versus HGH now, yeah. It's like night and day.
Yeah.
What's different? It's just not from a health risk. And then also from what it does, you know, it's not the same thing. It's more of a maintenance versus a bulking up, and the risks with this aren't anything like what it was back then, you know, for actual, yeah. When you say steroids. Last question I've got. Do you think the Bonzes, the Clemens, you know, I mentioned a guy that's not in there that probably should be, Curt Schilling. It's for a totally different reason. It's politics. He's being kept out of the Hall of Fame because a majority of the writers lean one way, and he's way out on the other side.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clear. And he said some pretty crazy things, you know. And do you think these guys, though, him, you know, those guys, A-Rod you mentioned, which he's just in his first try of 10, but if it goes down this same path, he's not going to make it. Will they eventually get put in by those committees that go ahead and elect guys? And how long do you think it's going to take for that to happen?
Are you asking me, do they eventually get in?
Mm-hmm. By like the Veterans Committee or whatever. Like the way some of the, you know, you got 10 years, and if you don't make it, then you have to get in the other way.
This is morbid to say, but I think they will, but not until after they're long ago.
Which is so stupid.
It is stupid. It's like the Eddie Sutton stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, he got in maybe or maybe not realizing what was going on.
Right.
But alive.
Right. I mean, how many days was he alive? Does that make sense?
Right.
Well, I don't know.
It's right at the end. I mean, yeah, very, very. And
you don't want that. You want people to enjoy it.
Right.
While they're alive and to go around and, you know, flash their Hall of Fame jacket or ring or whatever, mm-hmm. and get the free meals and stuff like that. Not while they're in a wheelchair and who may or may not know what's going on around them. And then, like I said, I mean, you see that stuff after people go and they go, we're going to honor them after, you know. That's all fine and good, but what's the point? You know, you should do it when they're alive. But to answer your question, I think it'll be something like that, sadly.
See, I wonder if this isn't a way for them to push back and say, you guys are petty. Because we haven't seen these types of players kept out for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about those two especially are the best of the best ever. Way better than than most. And so I actually think – I don't think it's going to take that much time. I really don't. I think that the further we get away from it, the more that – you know, baseball itself. That's the problem I've got with all this. It feels like baseball itself is able to wash its hands of its culpability within the steroid craze. Because let's be honest, they essentially allowed it to happen and looked the other way. And not only that, even participated in covering it up with all the Andro in the people's lockers to try to get people off the scent. I mean, Jim told that story yesterday about Mark McGwire and having all that front and center in their locker for people to go, oh, well, that's why they're getting stronger and hitting more home runs, because of Andro.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, right.
That's why Brady Anderson's going deep 50 times in a year when he had about 50 in his first 10 years. Brett Boone, upper tank oppo as a second baseman, little scrawny dude. I mean, come on. And so that's where I think eventually, and I think, well, maybe not, and with the leadership of baseball, obviously, it's just been horrendous for years. But I think that's where it happens, where baseball itself, under a different leader, looks around and goes, listen, we had just as much a hand in what happened in that steroid era as the guys taking it, because we did nothing to stop it, because the almighty dollar was flowing back into the game.
Yeah.
And in the love of the game was back after we screwed everybody in 1994 and didn't allow that home run chase to continue with Griffey and Matt Williams. There wasn't a World Series for the first time in 50 years. And people got pissed.
And some people have never come back.
And a lot of people haven't come back. I know two personally that will not watch baseball because of that. And that's, golly, that's 27 years ago.
And they're risking that again as we speak. Not with the Hall of Fame stuff, but with what's going on right now with the lockout.
Yeah, and the only difference is not near as many people care because of multiple things.
But the little that do, you risk losing them.
Yeah, and then you're done.
And then you're done.
No, when you start losing the ones that are still around now, which is the most loyal fans you could ever have, that's when you know it's it's about the end. Anyway, Hall of Fame stuff, it's really interesting. And will baseball ever admit to what they did wrong? This weekend, AFC title games, NFC title game. Kind of the last. A lot of times this is the best weekend, but I'm afraid this year that's not going to be the case. I'm afraid you're going to be looking at last weekend to be the best weekend of NFL football, and I hope this isn't just a giant letdown because of what was building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody expects it to be as good as it was last weekend, honestly, just because it was an all-timer.
But you know what's going to happen?
What's that?
Everybody's going to tune in to find out.
Oh, my gosh. The numbers are going to be giant.
Yes.
Okay, let's start in chronological order because the AFC game is first, correct? And then, yeah, I think 2 o'clock for...
2 and 5:30.
2 and 5:30. AFC game is first. How does Cincinnati pull this off?
Well, I think they got to go back to when they played them, what was that, week 15?
Yeah, 15, 16, something like that. Yeah.
They got to go back to that blueprint at least. And in that game, if memory serves me right, was more or less a shootout where Cincinnati had to stay with Kansas City until the fourth quarter. You got to do the same thing. You can't just expect, because the Cincinnati defense is very suspect. That's been like that all season long. But they have an offense that can match what Kansas City does. So, and again, go back to the blueprint of that. Of just trying to stay with Kansas City as long as you can. If you can get it close and keep it close into the fourth quarter, I say this a lot, but then you know you start to believe that you can pull this thing off, and then you have that motivation of we beat them the last time we played them, and then I do think there's going to be I think a hangover is a little bit of a thing for Kansas City, coming off that monumental all-timer of a game that people will talk about for years on end. I think that is a thing where they're like, okay, we had to give 110% every drop in our tank to beat this Buffalo team. And we, you know, I wonder, is there any more, you know, is there going to be a hangover effect going into the game Sunday afternoon? And if there is, then Cincinnati needs to take advantage of that. So.
Go away.
It did. What'd you do?
I turned off the raw feed.
Hopefully it didn't turn us off.
I don't think so.
You just pulled down the raw feed?
No, I turned it off.
Just straight off? Okay. Radio
think,
talk. Sorry,
I
guys.
I think it was that was bleeding through the board on the raw.
Okay.
Ought to still be us over here.
If you can still hear us, text us and tell us.
Yeah.
If you can't, text and tell us. We'll probably get those. Anyways.
Yeah, I can't hear Matt and Craig anymore. Anyway. Looking back at that game, yeah, that's what it was. There we go. So so we got a little bleed on the raw pot.
Noted.
I didn't break it.
Yes. Okay. We got to turn. Don't we? Can they have that back on? Or?
Why? We're switching.
That is if we go. Okay.
Only time we need that on is if everything's broke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If we're not get. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so
moving on, Cincinnati.
Back
that's
to
how
that,
I think they can win. Go ahead.
Back to that game. It was week 16, next to last week.
Only took us like five week years 17. To figure this out, the raw feed. It took us how long to figure this out?
Yeah,
this
is they're always in our right ear. Now. Well, no one's ever said they could hear it, too.
That's right. It's always been in our ear for a reason.
Yeah, back
originally,
it used
so
to be
we can time it out.
Trying okay, to time it, yeah.
Okay.
Then we just quit caring about that.
The things you learn on a day-to-day basis.
That first game between the two, Kansas City started out and it looked like they were going to score 100.
Yeah.
It was 28-14 in the first half. But then in the second half, the Bengals defense figured something out, only allowed 3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
And that allowed, and of course, Burrow and Jamar Chase were phenomenal. Chase had 11 catches, 266, scored 3 touchdowns. Burrow threw for almost 450 and 4 touchdowns, no picks. I don't know that it's going to take that monumental an effort, but it might take something close. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what adjustments Cincinnati made in that second half to slow down Mahomes and what Andy Reid will do to adjust to those adjustments, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think conventional wisdom would tell you if you're Cincinnati, you know, looking at Joe Mixon, he had 12 carries and 46 yards in the first game. Not a great game by any stretch of the imagination. And you would think that would be the recipe to win. Get Mixon going, keep Mahomes on the sidelines, blah, blah, blah. And we all know that cliche.
Yeah.
Now, the best defense against a good offense is for your offense to keep it.
Correct.
But at the same time, that's not the way Cincinnati plays. So I don't think you can change up what you're good at just to because you're so scared of Mahomes. You've already beat him in a shootout once.
Right.
I think you just got to let it rip with Burrow. And now if
that falls into what I was saying.
But if that opens up running lanes for Mixon, yeah. And then you can have some more sustained drives, fine. But I don't think if you're Cincinnati, you can try to score – quote unquote slow just to keep you just got to score.
Go score.
You just got to go score and you got to score touchdowns.
Go. Yes.
Not field goals. Because the truth of it is what kept Buffalo in that game for the finish to be crazy was them holding Kansas City to a couple of field goals. The Tyreek Hill punt return when the punter unbelievably tackled him. That was a field goal. You know, there was just a couple of field goals there that allowed Buffalo to hang in there and not get so far behind they couldn't catch up. So that's defensively, even if you're not holding them to 3 points and a half, which I'd be shocked if that happens this time, like it did the second half of that first game. But if you can make them kick a few field goals, that's a win. Those are wins against that Kansas City defense or offense, excuse me.
Yes.
We mentioned it's the first time 4 straight conference title games at home. All right, so listen to this. So it goes back to this stat goes back to 98 because that or I'm sorry 2018 because that's when Mahomes, you know, he's been the quarterback, right, for Kansas City. So the Chiefs in the playoffs with Mahomes as the quarterback, they are 3-1 in games in which at some point in the game, you know how they have, like on ESPN, if you're watching like the game cast or whatever, they have the live win percentages.
Yeah.
Depending on how the game's going.
Right.
So the Chiefs are 3-1 in the playoffs with Mahomes as the quarterback when at some point in the game, their win percentage dips below 5%.
That's crazy.
Everybody else in that time period is 1-38.
Wow.
And I would assume, when was the Stephon Diggs play in Minnesota? Was that
18?
18. I think that's probably the one.
Yeah.
And how ridiculous that play was for that game to turn out the way it did.
Yeah.
And Mahomes has done it 3 out of 4 in similar situations. That's just nuts.
That is crazy. That's a crazy stat.
Well, and what I tell you what it shows you is it doesn't matter if they fall behind.
No.
It does. I mean, think about Watson and Houston had him down, 24-0 in the first half of the divisional game a couple years ago? Was last year? 2 years ago? And they came back and won that one. Hell, they had the lead at halftime. They came back so fast in that one. But that's a nuts stat.
Yes.
Burrow, he's also doing something that's never happened.
Okay.
Burrow is the first quarterback to be taken first overall in the draft to reach the conference finals in his first 2 seasons. Nobody else has ever done it. The number one overall pick at the quarterback spot.
To reach at least once.
To reach the conference finals in the first two seasons.
Right.
Nobody's ever done that.
That's why everyone loves this kid, man.
And then I mentioned the teams that have been there. This is surprising. Guess who's the only franchise that's been to 4 straight conference finals 2 different times?
Only franchise that's been to 4 conference titles.
4 straight conference title games 2 different times.
Was it Buffalo?
No, Buffalo did it once.
Okay. New England?
New England did it 8 straight.
They did 8 straight, but not 2.
Not 2, 4 games.
4 game.
That's right.
Gotcha. I don't know. We can go on all day.
Your Dallas Cowboys.
See, I thought the obvious was, or the answer was too obvious. I didn't want
to say Dallas. 1970 to 1973, and then 1992 to 1995.
There you go.
The others that have done it, you mentioned Buffalo. Oakland did it 5 straight from 73 to 77. Philly had 4 in a row from 01 to 04. Now, who is the only coach to do it twice? And actually with 2 different franchises.
Parcells.
No, it's way more obvious than that.
Is it?
I mean, it's right in front of your face. We're talking about his team.
It's Kansas City Chiefs coach.
Yeah, Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
He did it with Philly, and now he's done it with Kansas City. I don't think he gets the credit. He only has 1 win in the Super Bowl. That's what keeps him down a little bit. But if he can get 3 here in the next few years, he's an all-timer of a coach, man. An all-timer of a coach.
Well, what weighs him down was that where he started that run was in Philly, and there's such the fan base and the media in Philly is so hard on you.
Yeah, because they only won one of those 4.
Doug Peterson's already gone.
They only won 1 of those 4.
Right.
The last one. And then they got beat in the great Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Andy Reid is Drew's right. He's top 10 coach of all time, maybe higher than that. I mean, if he can pick off 1 or 2 this year and another one with Mahomes, and he ends up with 3 titles playing in, 5 Super Bowls, he's up in the – he's way high.
Yes.
Behind only a couple of guys in the pantheon of coaches. And – what he's done that a lot of those other ones didn't is he's doing it at multiple locations.
Yeah.
It's one thing to do it with the Steelers in the 70s with Chuck Knoll or New England with Brady, you know, now, the way that Belichick has done it. But for him to do it with multiple franchises, that's It's pretty crazy. I mean, you're talking top five coach of all time.
Yes.
And then, of course, Mahomes. You know, we talked. I remember the conversation last year leading up to the Super Bowl was, is this the passing of the torch? Are we seeing, you know, the goat give it to the baby goat? And then Brady and the Bucks just ran him over. And that talk died down, especially with the way Mahomes started the season. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Is this have we found his Achilles heel? Is he kind of peaked? What, and of course, now that his powers have never been greater after what he did in the last 13 seconds last week. But he is, as much as Burrow did, you know, that stat about the first 2 years, but he has done nothing anywhere near compared to what Mahomes is. I mean, Mahomes is trying to cement legacies that are going to be talked about in the top of the top of the top quarterbacks of all time, especially at this young of an age. I mean, these are games that guys like him don't lose.
No. You're right. And the greats don't lose it. You know, you look back at the early days of...
Yeah, they might get picked off at a Super Bowl, but when they have these types of opportunities to get there,
yeah,
they just don't lose.
No, they don't. And so when that pressure is on, I mean, we just saw it last week. So what I want Cincinnati to do is to keep it close in the fourth quarter. If that happens, you know, everybody's going to be betting on Mahomes to take it over and win the thing. Even, you know, I mean, I just hope we get a game like we did last Sunday.
I'll just see.
I mean, anything close to that would be fantastic.
Oh, if it is
like that, you got to think this, you know, this guy. I mean, we keep talking about being the torch being passed. I mean, maybe he's lighting his own torch.
Yeah.
It's like, screw it. I'm not going to take it from anybody. I'm going to blaze my own path.
I think that's right. I hope it's a one score game going into the fourth quarter. I just don't have faith that it's going to be. The other one, man, what a crazy matchup this is. First time since 2013 that divisional opponents meet in the conference title game. Back then, it was the Niners and the Seahawks, with the Seahawks winning that and then just dismantling Denver in the Super Bowl that year. I'm going to toot my own horn kind of tongue-in-cheek on Monday because I had Chiefs-Niners to start the year, but that went away pretty quick in my mind, even though I thought that they were, you know, the Niners coming into the playoffs like the one team you didn't want to see mm-hmm. for one game, and that they proved that to be right against Dallas. But I didn't see them winning last week.
No.
Didn't see it. And so now – you know, to me last week,
clearly I didn't. I had Green Bay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, everything to me outside of the Rodgers has never beat San Francisco in the playoffs stat. Outside of that, everything else seemed to be leaning Green Bay and leaning Green Bay really heavily. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to go in and win that game. Now, it's not that the roles are reversed because I think most people still would favor the Rams to win on their home field and go to the Super Bowl. But some of the stuff is in San Francisco's favor, and obviously beating the Rams six straight is one of those.
Do you think if you're the Rams, you would have, because of history, you would rather host Green Bay than this team that you just can't get past?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was looking at the scores of those last six. Like, four of them were close, and two of them were just butt-kickings, including one this year, 31-10. And then there was a 20-7, and I think the rest were like one score games. Maybe, you know, it's hard to beat a team three times. I mean, it's hard as it, but the Niners have done it six in a row.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's not like
three times.
Yeah, we've doubled that.
Yeah,
and I was looking through the stats of those games this morning. There's not one real common denominator. You know, it's not like Jimmy G hasn't turned it over. He threw two picks in the game that they won at the end of the season. And that's what's kind of crazy to me is the fact that think about that week, the week 18 game. The Rams had the Niners' fate in their hands. They're up 17-0 at halftime. They had the chance to put the bullet in them then and didn't, and weren't able to do it. At the same time, though, I just can't see Von Miller, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, and those guys. Listen, I'm sure the left side of the San Francisco offensive line will be fine with Trent Williams, but what about the rest of them? And we saw it last week. Why did they were in Brady's face the first 2.5 quarters and they only gave up 3 points? And then maybe you take your foot off the gas. Maybe, you know, your momentum changed a little bit with the Cooper Kupp fumble. But, you know, all of a sudden Brady was kind of – but he, it's not like he just went boom, 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 scored. I mean, Von Miller still knocked one free and got a fumble from Brady that could have sealed the game until the center snapped it when Stafford wasn't looking and Tampa got the ball right back. You know, and they stopped him on fourth down. So it wasn't like it was just a – like they solved it and just scored every time. The Rams are still getting stops in that comeback. They just couldn't their offense just couldn't get enough first downs, and they kept on giving Brady the ball, and eventually Brady was going to score enough points to tie that game.
Well, I think the key in this game, it's not going to be so much the Rams defense. I mean, I think it's going to be the Niners defense is a key.
How much they can hold them down?
How much can they hold down that Rams offense? They do that enough that, you know, it's like they did against Dallas and they did it against Green Bay. It gave their offense enough opportunities to score and cause the other team to just scramble at times. So that's what I'm going to be looking at is when Stafford and company have the ball, how do the Niners slow them down? Because they get out to a 27-3 lead. I don't see that happening.
No, Jimmy G ain't coming back.
No, they're not coming back from that.
Jimmy G's
not Tom Brady. Just ask Belichick.
I don't know if they, you know, first to 20 doesn't win this one. Just because I don't have a ton of faith in Garoppolo scoring a bunch of points.
No, I don't. For them to win, they're going to have to, you know, keep Rams down in the 20s at least, if not more.
Oh, if they get to the 30s, lower. It's over.
No, yeah. I'm thinking, you know, when I talk about formulas, they got to approach it the same way like Green Bay. They keep it in the teens, keep it down, keep it low, hamper down that Rams offense. Then that's the Niners' chance. So it's the Niners' defense is the key to me. How do they play? Can they slow them down?
No. They did the first game, 31-10. Then the last was 27-24 overtime win for the Niners to get themselves into the playoffs. And now here they are. How weird would it be for there not to be a team play on their home field in the Super Bowl for the first 50 years, and then it happens 2 years
in a row? That'd be weird.
Today, 21-year anniversary of the Oklahoma State men's basketball plane crash. You know, I was in college. You were what? Junior year in 2001?
Junior year.
What do you remember? I mean, I know right where I was at. Basically that entire day now that you think back at it, once you started learning about that pretty late at night there on a Saturday night. Is that one of those things you remember kind of where you were?
Yeah, I was it was a Saturday night. I was driving back, or I was with my family, my parents. So I was riding. I remember it was like there was a nice storm or a sleet and weather was not good. And we're driving back from my grandparents, who lived in Tacoma at the time, which is a very small community south and east of Alva. So that area up there. And I remember, you know, this is back before smartphones and all that stuff. You were disconnected from the world other than a radio. And that's what we were listening to on the radio. And somewhere in my dad's driving, and we're listening to radio to get weather updates and all this stuff. He's being very mindful of the road conditions. And remember coming on the radio that there's been a plane crash involving the OSU-Oklahoma basketball team. And at that time, they're trying to figure out if Eddie Sutton was on that plane. You know,
which plane was it? Because there was multiple. Who was there?
And a lot of confusion, a lot of concern, you know, and even where, you know. And I was thinking, well, it's because of this weather brought down that plane. Where was it? Is somewhere over Oklahoma? You know, we didn't know. A lot of confusion. But then once, you know, more details came in and find out what happened, it was just it is one of those moments in Oklahoma history where you know where you were at. And you didn't have to be a fan of the school or the program. You know, you just, as Oklahomans, you were concerned and you hurt for them. And And when you got all those details in, it's just a tragic day, tragic weekend that led to, you know, healing and, you know, the rest is history. But yeah, we all knew where we were. Where were you?
I was at a trailer house in Weatherford, Oklahoma, playing poker.
Okay.
With Nathan and Denny and Jared and maybe a couple others. When, you know, kind of had the TV on in the background, and then all of a sudden it was like, whoa, what? Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, it's not like anybody really knew this guy, but we had a little bit of a connection to one of the players at the time, because it was Terrence Crawford from Bishop McGinnis that had we'd played against in the state tournament, and obviously he was, what, a sophomore there at OSU? Or no, maybe a freshman, actually, because he was a year behind me in school. But anyhow, and, you know, where, you know, first reports, and, you know, it's all kind of a haze at the time, like, oh, they think he was on that plane. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And then you figure out it wasn't. The 10 guys, there was two players, Nate Fleming and Daniel Lawson. Their play-by-play voice back then was Bill Teagans. He was also the or the sports director, Channel 9, in Oklahoma City. He was on that plane. Yeah. His engineer, Kendall Duffy. Sports information guy, Will Hancock, their director of basketball director of basketball operations, Pat Noyes. Trainer, Brian Lewinstra. Student manager, Jared Weiberg. I know that name rings a bell, the last name anyway, with their AD now. And then both pilots, Denver Mills and Bjorn Fallstrom, were the 10. And, you know, they have a bunch of different things. To me, what outside of that night and knowing where you're at, one of the things, the two things I remember moving forward out of that was the first night back inside Gallagher Iba Arena, Missouri was the opponent, and the motion that was in that building.
Yeah.
And then not more than, what, a week later was Bedlam in there. And for, you know, Kelvin Sampson, coach at OU at the time, his compassion for that situation, and, you know, the OU guys wore, you know, T-shirts commemorating those guys that lost, you know, and it just, OSU just beat the ever-living crap out of OU that night. And it was just it was just one of those, you know, healing moments for that fan base, for that crowd, for all that. And, you know, it almost seemed like it was, you know, it was always meant to be that way. And listen, I'm not saying Kelvin did it on purpose. That's not what I'm saying. But it was one of those nights where it was going to be that way just because fate was going to make it be that way.
Right.
Because those folks needed that win that way. And it just, I remember that was the time to me where, you know, before that, there was it wasn't a contentious relationship between Kelvin and Eddie by any choice, but it felt like that kind of pulled those two in a spot where they were considered friends from that point on. Outside of knowing what their real relationship was. But you know what I mean? It felt like that. It's kind of the first time I remember in my life coaches at those two schools in any sport kind of being buddies, you know?
Right.
And I think Eddie appreciated what Kelvin did, and obviously Kelvin felt like no matter where you're the coach of, that compassion toward the OSU basketball family and OSU family, period, was needed at that time, and it came from an unlikely spot in Norman, Oklahoma.
Yeah, it kind of showed the world that, you know, or the state anyways, you know, it's easy to get caught up in Bedlam and the rivalry and you know, the hate, I guess we can say. But you know, because then stuff like that and the way OU responded and the way Kelvin responded, Sampson responded, you know, it just shows us, you know, it's more than just, it's a sport. That's all it is. Just a sport. And at the end of the day, we're human beings. So it was a nice gesture. And that friendship lasted all the way until the last days of Eddie.
You know,
because Sampson would talk about it.
Yeah, it kind of cemented, cemented that into a totally different thing.
Mm-hmm.
The way that affected both of those men, being in the positions that they were in around that, obviously. And, you know, you probably don't realize how much that affected Eddie Sutton in ways that would kind of end up being
right.
Bad things down the road.
Right.
And how much that stayed with him, and and contributed to his demise as the OSU basketball coach. It's just it's a tough thing to deal with.
Sure.
Mentally and it all it would be. A couple real quick hires in the NFL, head coaching wise. The Broncos are hiring Packers offense coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. He'll be their new head coach. And then just breaking, the Bears look like they're going to hire Matt Eberflus.
No Harbaugh, huh?
He was defensive coordinator for the Colts, former defensive coordinator for the Colts, Matt Eberflus. Harbaugh, I would look, if Harbaugh is coming, I don't think it was ever the Bears. I think you need to look out in the desert of Las Vegas.
Oh,
to
yeah.
See where the landing spot for Jim Harbaugh would be if he wants to make that
yeah,
job.
Well, it seems like every year, obviously, there's multiple head coaching openings in the NFL, and then the big names are mentioned. Harbaugh. shoot, Day, I think, was even mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get connected there. What was the first thing that happened when Sean Payton called it quits? Who's the first name, jokingly, you started to hear? Lincoln Riley. But then at the end of the day, they're hiring defensive coordinators and offensive coordinators from other NFL teams.
Yeah.
I think it's more safe of a hire. You got a guy that's experienced in the NFL. It's guys who now I know Harbaugh's had experience.
Right. Yeah, Harbaugh's different.
He seems like he's found his footing back in the college game, at least this year. See if that can continue.
Yeah, or you may be thinking, it ain't going to get no better than this here at Michigan.
You mean Caleb Williams coming to Wisconsin? I'm out of here.
See ya. Everybody have a great Thursday. Stay warm.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.